This is the 15-minute radio piece which composed of four different sections. A pre-recording interview with a native Chinese to tell the Asian fairy tales about Chinese New Year. An interview with a middle school student who lives in England over 10 years to share her ideas of multiculturalism. The third piece is a short drama called Unexpected, which explores the difficulties of blindness and the things in life that happen unexpectedly. And at the final section, you will listen to a continuity announcement from the Radio Exchange show.
All right. In China, the biggest and the most important festivals is the Spring Festival, or we call it the Chinese New Year. We have loads of events since the first day of lunar calendar in China. At the final day of the old year, we normally prepare virus food and wait for the dinner with families together. In our countries, it names Shou Sui, which means in the new year, families will still stick together with enough tasty food. All right, and how did you celebrate the Spring Festival when you were little? I remember in my childhood, the Spring Festival is the most exciting things we expected for the whole year. Well, it is quite similar to Western countries' Christmas to some extent. At the final day of the old year, children will take a shower and keep themselves neat in order to welcome the new year. And after dinner, children all change their new red clothes and wait for the new year bell and fabulous fireworks. You know, in our country, red represents lucky and happiness. Yeah, it is very interesting that in China, for big events in particular, you can see the red everywhere. Flowers, stairs, lanterns, for instance. And in our traditional wedding, for example, the wedding dress of bride is red as well. That's really amazing, right? And for Chinese, another part of traditions is watching the Spring Festival program of CCTV since 1980s. It is the program of dancing, singing, magic and drama from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. around 4 hours. Nearly every Chinese will watch this during the dinner time, and this dinner is also the longest one of the whole year. Yeah, indeed. I remember at the 12 a.m., we have amazing fireworks in the entire China at the same time, and children, on the other hand, play firecrackers. So why do we have this costume? This is from our ancient fairy tale. A monster called Xi attacked villages in the last day for each year. People suffered it a lot, but couldn't find his weakness to beat the monster Xi. It seems he never scared anything until one time people realized that she is feared about the firecracker's voice so much. That's why we have this costume, I think. Citizens were forbidden to play firecrackers by government for the environment consideration. But nowadays, we are allowed to play firecrackers in spacious places just in order to avoid hurting people or ruining the environment. So what's the biggest difference of the Spring Festival compared to several years ago and nowadays? What do you think? The biggest difference is that we are forgetting the tradition gradually. When I was little, we kept the traditions very well. Maybe with the growth, we're busy on our business and something else. You know, in recent years, we just need to book the dinner, which I mentioned before, in the restaurant instead of our house. Maybe that's a part of reasons I came here to celebrate the Chinese New Year with my daughter. We're going to cook some dumplings in the UK during the Spring Festival. And we also have zodiac signs, which include 12 animals to stand for different years. As you may know, mouse, tiger, dragon, and dog, for example. Each year has the different stories of animals. And could you tell me one of them? I've heard a story from my mom, your grandma. 1,000 years ago, all animals were invited to attend the New Year party. They have specific order of seats. Wu was the first one, and Mouse was the last. However, the chicken mouse became Bu's friends on purpose, which is being the first guest in the seat. When they were going to take a seat, Mouse jumped from the Bu's back and became the first guest in the party. As the order couldn't change, Mouse Year remains the first one in our lunar calendar.
We're going to talk about multiculture and Nicola's travel story during the guest time. So Nicola, introduce a bit about yourself.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me, first of all. as you said, my name is Nicola, and I'm a student, an MA student at Bournemouth University, studying post-production editing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know a bit more?
I think. So when did you move to Britain?
I was just turned 13. So very exciting time for me. Literally just turned 13 and then I came over, and it was the first time for me on a plane. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I'm so excited.
What's the difference about living here?
A lot of things. I mean, where can I start? I think the way we think about the weather is certainly different. I mean, I have to constantly think about what I'm going to wear before the day starts because, you know, the weather can just change any time.
Right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you can relate to that yourself.
Indeed. Actually, I have an experience today because I got a coat and everyone just looks at me when I was wearing the mask on campus, you know, the medical mask.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I've always wondered, what's that all about? Like, I've seen people when you travel, especially people from China, you always like wear masks. What is that? Can you tell me what is that all about?
I do apologize for that. It's really common and really popular in China.
Why?
More attention. No. It's just because I got a coat.
So you put on a mask. I thought it was to, like, prevent yourself from catching disease or something.
No.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
Well, I find that very strange.
Okay, I'm
sorry. But I do.
Okay. Go back to yourself. So what was the most difficult thing about moving country?
That's a difficult question. I wouldn't say the most difficult thing, but I'd probably say the correct word is probably like the most challenging thing. And I think what was quite challenging for me was that even though I could speak English already, but because I was so used to speaking one language constantly, and so sometimes I'd forget and speak my language with like someone who doesn't understand, but like just, you know, not like a whole sentence, but certain words that
you didn't realize
that
it,
you
right?
don't realize you're saying, and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, of course you don't understand, and they're like, what? And you're like, oh, you take you like a second to realize. But now I'm fine because I've been here a long time now, so it's like I've adjusted to that. But I think out of the hat, that's one thing I can point out straight away.
How long have you take get used to this? Just use English in your life?
Well, I could speak English from a young age because, I mean, English is our second country, second language in my country. So I could, you know, you start learning English from a very, very early age from home because, you know, we are a sort of a diverse country, so like in a certain way. So it's not strange to know English, even though I haven't learned it in school, to just know certain words. But even though it's our second country, we still like use the first native language predominantly. What was the question?
How long have you get used to that?
Oh, that's it. I think it takes time. I can't really sort of put a figure to it, but I think eventually, I mean, once you start listening to English television in and out, you speak English when you go to school, you know, and to the point where even your thoughts are in English. So, you know, you eventually do get used to it. And now English comes first to my mind before my language does. But that's not to say that I will not switch on my... So if I go to Zimbabwe, I kind of like have to go into that mode where I have to think, don't speak English, try and speak Shona, because, you know, that's what they speak here. So, yeah, Okay. But it doesn't take long. But once you get into the system, yeah, it's easy.
Thanks for the tips. I will do it after the show. Okay, and we will go to your first song choice. Would you like to tell us a bit about?
Oh yeah, so this song, it's called Shiner. Mm-hmm. By Alexio featuring Andy Brown. And I chose this song because it's a very, very optimistic song. And what it means basically is that no matter how difficult things are, no matter how dark a situation might be, you can shine above it. So I cannot give you the direct translation because it's easier when the song is playing for me to give you the translation. But from the top of my head, it's basically saying that, you know, as the sun shines bright, so should you.
Okay, let's listen to it.
Okay.
I'm sitting by an open window. A warm and sweet breeze is blowing. Birds are singing. My cheeks are basking in the sun. It's time to take a walk.
Are you all right? Do you need help?
Oh, that's really kind. I got used to it though, thank you.
Hey, yeah! I knew I'd finish it. Right, let's try this thing out.
Which colour does the grass look like now? Pale green? Olive drab? Magenta, probably.
Alright, okay, come on, bring it in. Yeah. Hey, watch out.
I'm so sorry. Are you alright?
Yeah, pretty cool, until you ruined my kite.
Your kite? Oh dear, I'm so sorry, really. Can I buy a new one for you?
Hang on, you...
Never mind, I get used to it though. Was it expensive?
No, I made it.
Oh no, I'm mortified. Can I do something, even though, you know...
Alright, how about this? Let's make a kick-ass kite together. I'm pretty sure the new one will be better. You look good.
Oh, thank you. You look good too.
Thanks. First you broke my kite, then my heart. Oh my goodness. Cool, let's go.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Burst.co.uk, the radio exchange. I'm Lindsay Wu, and I'm sitting with the brilliant Burst team, composed of Michael Dell, Tom Harrison.
Hello.
And our station manager, Oliver Morris.
Hello.
Today, we've got lots of things coming up with this show, so isn't it, Ollie?
We do. We've got interviews with some of the biggest players in radio. Mm-hmm. People who've written key texts, people like Sean Street, Andrew Crissell.
Sounds cool.
And Dirk Maggs, who's not written any texts.
Brilliant.
But is an excellent producer. We've also got our entries for the Third Coast piece, Third Coast radio thing. Uh-huh. I do apologise.
Third Coast Festival, I think.
The Short Docs Festival, that's yes. Right. And we're going to be celebrating a few of the MARP alumni. And then we will be passing over the Radio at BU banner. The baton to Nerve at the end of the show for their 2-week broadcast.
All right, thank you so much, Ollie. So today we're going to play a number of pieces submitted to the Third Coast Festival. The very first piece of this festival is from our own Michael, called Why Does My Dad Have 10 Clocks? Enjoy.
Why
noise, and then it drifts off again towards the end into death.
I really like your idea. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks.
And Andrew Crissell is a professor in broadcasting and has written a number of key texts in media, including Understanding Radio, which has had its pages read, folded, underlined, highlighted, and occasionally thrown across rooms by many radio students. Our own Eve Marx had a chance to chat to him about the future of radio.
When we usually have people over, we ask.
You've been listening to Burst Decoder UK. This piece was produced and presented by Lindsay Wu. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you have a nice day.